In today's episode, we are talking about how do you position yourself for the next big shift, the next big change in your life, so that you can be on top and not be behind where a lot of people tend to be. This is the first episode of the new year, and I hope that you will join me because I have a lot I want to say, so I'm going to see you on the inside. If you are a woman of faith and you want practical support in the areas of faith, focus, or finances, especially if you are an entrepreneur, then you are in the absolute right place. I am Dr. T. I am a certified executive coach, a woman of faith, a serialpreneur, and I absolutely love to coach women who have the desire to grow in those three areas. So if you know that that's you, I want you to hang out with me for a while because I am absolutely sure you will be blessed. Hey there, this is your girl, your sister, and your mentor, Dr. T, coming to you with another episode of Faith, Focus, and Finances, where we are talking to women all over the world about those three things so that we can be our best selves while we're on this side of heaven. I am so excited for those of you who have been with me. Do you guys realize that this is the first episode of the new year? And when I tell you I am ready for this year, I am fighting this year, I am savvy this year, I am different. That's my word for the year. And I am just expecting, not hoping. I am hoping, but I'm expecting some things to change. I remember we used to be at House of Love Church in Tulare, California, and the song we sang forever was I Expect a Miracle from the Clark Sisters. Every day, God will make a way out of no way. I expect a miracle. But watch this. Even with the expectation, I'm going to do my part. I hope somebody said amen to that part. I'm going to do my part so that I could be ready for that, because some people say that luck is just when how does the saying go? You guys see me messing up. Is just when opportunity meets hard work. When hard work meets opportunity, that's where luck is. So you just have hard work, and then you just be in the right place, right at the right time, because God is in the midst. But it is the work that we have to do, and I'm preparing myself, and I sure hope you are doing the same. I really am excited about this particular podcast because we're talking about positioning yourself for the next big shift or the next or the whatever, but for the next thing that's supposed to happen. And I just have some things that I'd like to share that I think will be just paramount for your thinking and what it is that you're doing. You guys know I have a lot of profound conversations. I do. And I've been having this conversation with my girl. Matter of fact, this particular topic came up a couple of times. And I said, I'm going to do it as a podcast, but I think it's something that's important. So she and I will be talking. We'll be arguing, fussing, and fighting in our way to talk about, you know, what's happening in the world. We're talking about business. We're talking about politics. We're talking about everything. And we're mostly talking about where we are going with business and where the world is going with business. We have a new president that's coming in. The last time this president was in office, there was a lot of positive financial shifts to the world. And sometimes that's hard to understand or know, because sometimes we personally don't feel it, right? But there were, you know, at large, there were a lot of positive financial shifts for businesses. And the reality is that while the rules may be made for big businesses, small businesses that are paying attention can benefit too. That might set somebody free right there. The rules may not be made for you, who you are, what you're doing. But if you're paying attention, it doesn't mean the door is closed. It's just that you got to be willing to listen and be ready for the opportunities. And so one of the things that my girl said, I mean, it was such a profound statement, and I'm going to misquote how she said it, but you'll get the gist of it. She said that what happens is they keep us busy focusing on today so that they can create tomorrow. And I said, that is quotable right there. Many of us, whether it is our finances, You know, you might be in a place where you're looking for the basics, the food, the clothing, and the shelter. You might be trying to figure out your next mortgage payment. You might be trying to figure out how you're going to survive the Christmas holiday because you spent so much. You might be trying to figure out how I'm going to save, you know, X amount of dollars this year, or start this business, or scale, or whatever the case may be. And because oftentimes we are focused, it could be our kids. It doesn't have to always be. I'm sorry, I'm digressing a little bit. It doesn't always have to be about money. It could be about our family and our kids and, you know, college and just things that are happening. We have loved ones getting older and we're having to figure out how to take care of them. There's not enough money around to spread around to those in our family all the times who are in need. And so what we are focused on is the here and now. We're focused on today. We're focusing on what we need today, while the other businesses are focusing on creating the tomorrow. And then what happens when we start looking up again, we're in their tomorrow because we're still focusing on today. That might sound like it's circular reasoning, but it is factual. And one of the things that's going to be important for you to be in position for your next, for me to be in position for my next, is to be paying attention to tomorrow's opportunities. Now, I have something to say that I know there's going to have to be a balance, and I'll talk about that in a second. But I really want you to be thinking about this, right? About how do you really get yourself in position for your next? And if you're not in position, if you're not looking at the right things, you could be doing things that I think are already outdated to grow yourself, to be in position for your next. So I'm just going to say it like that. You are already out of position for your next because we are focusing too much on today. Now, one of the things that I looked up as I was doing this is I wanted to look up like this. It's called like a early adopters profile, right? Like how trends, when a new trend is coming, how it actually takes hold, right? Like for people who get in and, you know, we you kind of can see where you are. So I want to give this to you. So it's like a bell curve, right? And if you don't know what a bell curve is, just look it up. It's a bell curve. And there are, you can look this up on an easy, simple internet search. And so at the beginning, when there is a new trend, you first have the innovators. Like I like to be in the position of an innovator. Now watch this. It is in my opinion that oftentimes the challenge with those of us who really have innovation is we don't have the money to back it. Right? We are doing it on a shoestring budget. We don't have the influence. We don't have the influence or the partnerships or relationships to be able to take that innovation to the next level. It's going to come down to money, partnerships, or relationships, period, point blank. Now, I want you to argue with me on that. Send me a message. Again, the information is in the description. Send me a message on that. But you have to have one of those three things because, you know, my father, God rest his soul, I think was an innovator in a lot of respects. But he did too many things on a shoestring budget. He was a poor man's innovator, if you will, where he had good ideas, but he never had the finances, the partnerships, or the relationships to make them take hold in the way that he needed them to take hold. And that's why I think I say my family, my Richardson side of the family, we got it on, is we're all in that space because we have an understanding. We have that entrepreneur bug. Every single one of us has that entrepreneur bug, right? And so the innovators are those ones that have these great ideas and want to put these great ideas into play. And that's only about 2.5% of people who are, you know, those ones that are going for doing something, building something, starting something, right? And again, I don't care what this is. It could be having something to do with your children. It could be having something to do with your loved ones. It could be in any area of your life. So there's the innovators. Now, while some of us might not have the partnerships, the finances, or the relationships. Partnerships and relationships could be the same, but you might just be connected with somebody who has, you know, all the relationships, right? If you don't have those, then you might want to look at being an early adopter, right? And it is the early, it is the innovators and the early adopters that win the most. It's the innovators that win absolute most, right? But the early adopters, you might not be one of those people who have the ability to innovate, but you can be one of those people that have the ability to search. That might set somebody free right there. Like you might have the ability to be paying attention to those who are innovating, to know where to go to find the innovators, to keep your ear low to the ground to see who's creating what and who's doing what, and understanding if you feel like this is going to catch or be something in there. Because I'm telling you what, I think I was looking at something the other day that said, if you would have had $1 worth of Bitcoin, just $1, and not done anything, it'd be worth almost $3,000 today. That doesn't sound like a lot, but it's $1. We throw away money, just $1 of Bitcoin, right? So it's about... It's not always about having a lot of money, but it's having the right money at the right time to do the right things in the right place, right? And so then you want to be in that early adoption. And then after the early adoption, so again, early adoption is 13.5%. Early majority, right? It's 34% of the people, right? 34% of the people are in the early majority. Now, I want you to think back to this with, let's say, a platform like IG, right? Instagram. There were the innovators that came on, like when it was just sharing pictures. And then there were Periscope was like, I remember when Periscope came on the scene and everybody like jumped over there because they were trying to, get Periscope to go. And then Periscope kind of died out. I think there might be some people still on it, but it didn't hit the way that it didn't stay. It may have hit, but it didn't stay. But people still can get a following over there and then take that following to other platforms, right? But you want to be in on the early stages. TikTok has been like that. Early adoption. And then there's the early majority, as I said, that's 34% of the people. Then after that, it goes to late majority, right? There's the late majority of the people, 34%, and then there are the laggards. The question is, in your business, if you are starting, where do you fall in? Do you fall into the innovators, the early adopters, the early majorities, the late majorities, or the laggards? Now watch this. I was thinking about this idea about like post. Like those who say, oh, I'm starting a new business or I'm starting this new thing and I want to, build my following up on this platform. I want to, I have several people that I talk to that are doing this. I'm just not doing it because I can't stand social media right now. Like in the sense of building business, because I understand that the main problem is that they are, first of all, I think it's outdated. I think that it is those who are doing it now trying to grow that way are in the laggards situation. And I ain't taking it back. I think you're a laggard. I don't think that we can go viral anymore in things like that. I don't think we can. We might have a viral post. We might have something like, but we're not gonna get there and build, without money and without influence and without partners. I just don't see it happening. And if it does, it's one in a million, right? Even if you're posting automatically and getting some traction and stuff like that, likes don't mean anything today, because likes do not translate into buys. They do not. They just don't. And I dare somebody to challenge me on that. They just don't. And they're just vanity metrics. And so I think that going that way, even if you have things where you're scheduling things and doing it that way, it's just not going to, in my opinion, it's not going to yield the return that we want it to return, because I think that ship has sailed. I think that the majority of the people, especially on the platforms that are big right now, the majority of the people on there have done what they're doing, or they're paying for ads, because the algorithms are there to bless the people who are paying. And those are the people who get the big runs and the big numbers and so on and so forth. So if you are a person that still likes to post, in my opinion, we have to begin to look at innovation of different platforms, being an early adopter or early majority on a new platform that we're hoping is going to be one of those that's going to catch, right? And so that's something that you really have to be thinking about. And if you're not, especially if you're not willing to put any money in it, Like, if you're not willing to put any money in it, it's just going to be something that it's just going to be hard work. And I don't think that you're going to see the fruit of the labor that you're putting out there, because I think that ship has sailed. I just think that ship has sailed. I want to hopefully be able to go back in a year from now to see if I'm wrong about that. I want to be able to talk to some folks that I know that are still using that methodology and see where they got to in the year. And I don't care what industry, I don't care what business. I just think that ship has sailed. And so in order to be able to position ourselves for our big next, right? And mostly, obviously, while I'm saying you could be utilizing this in any area like family or whatever, I'm really talking about your business and your finances, but in particular, in order to position yourself for your next big shift, I think that one of the things that you're going to have to do is look at what technology, what platform, and what strategies will inform the next 5 years. That's really the question you need to ask yourself. I'm going to say it again. What technology, what platforms, and what strategies will inform the next 5 years? What's going to inform the next 5 years? Even if you're a coach, right? A consultant, what's going to inform the next 5 years? Because people, I want you to ask yourself, is what I'm doing been done fully saturated? Because that they're hiring people that they have relationships with, right? You want to get certain business ideas. You want to get some things off the table, but people are hiring those that they already have relationship with. And the amount of time that you are spending to get relationships in some of those areas, it might already be old. I'm not saying this to discourage you. I'm saying it to help you to begin to think more strategically, right? So what technology is coming out? Like, for example, artificial intelligence. It's here. It's coming. For those the people that don't believe, they're gonna be the laggards, and that's okay, because I'm gonna be one of those that's gonna capitalize, because I'm telling you, I'm an early adopter. In some respects, trying to be an innovator, but I'm absolutely an early adopter. We don't even have to like it, but do you? But what is going to inform the next 5 years? What technology? Web3. If you haven't even looked at Web3 or understand what that's going on, that is going to inform the next 5 years. What strategies, what is new that people are talking about that's going to inform the next 5 years? So I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to give you an example in coaching. So let's say you're a coach and you want to think about how to inform the next 5 years. What strategies will you need to do to inform the next 5 years? One of the things I think is that you have to get hyper personalized with your marketing, with your connections, and with the people you're talking about. Many people are still trying to go too broad because they're thinking about the money. But I'm going to say, I'm challenging you to do the exact opposite. I'm telling you to only speak to that small amount of people, but still utilize the amount of money that you're trying to make. If your value your worth is at $1,000 a day or $100 a day, it doesn't matter. It matters that you are speaking directly to that small group of people, right? That small group of people, that hyper personalized marketing, that hyper personalized avatar, hyper personalized connection that you want to get very, very specific, because trying to do bigger, you're going to get eaten up by people who are spending the money to do that part. So you have to do something different. That's just an example, right? Because watch this, customer attention span is small, it's short. And that's directly related to the social media and the algorithm that they have created to bless shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter, because they want people to be numb to the fact that you've been watching reels for 2 hours now, or just going to the next funny, right? And so you have to be innovative in order to be able to do to connect with people in a different way. There are some people who are trying to break away from the matrix, as I like to call it, and you're going to have to be innovative in order to speak to them. So here, but here is the goal, right? Because I know I'm talking about a lot of this tomorrow and a lot of this breakaway and a lot of this new stuff, but the in reality, the goal is going to have to be that you balance today's responsibilities with tomorrow's innovation. That might help you right there. Balance today's responsibility with tomorrow's innovation. So let me give you an example. Whether you like AI or not, it's not the point. It's here. And if we're both content creators, right? We're both content creators, and I'm utilizing AI to be able to help me with my content, I'm just going to get it out faster than you. It's just a fact. And for those of you who think like you're utilizing AI, and I want to say in a non-mature way, you're just going in there, throwing something in, taking it for face value, not editing. I don't think that's a healthy way to use it. But I don't even know if most people know what you can do is you can, I said it before, prime artificial intelligence to be able to help you. So let's say that you have written out some content, or you did a blog post or whatever, and you can put that very blog post inside of, let's say, ChatGPT. You can literally upload it. And then you can say, I want you to give me 5 quotes from this, from what I wrote. I want you to give me 3 things to think about, right? I want you to put this in simple steps for me. Because I want to put it on a LinkedIn page, right? Like, it's your work. So take what you have done. Take the thoughts that you have. Don't let it think for you. You get it to help you to think, right? And so you put in work that you've already done. It could be several pieces, because it's learning you, it's learning your style, it's learning your format, and then you can have it create things from what it is you're doing. You don't even have to go to a Fiverr, right? You don't even have to do anything like that to have somebody come up with stuff. You have the work. If you don't have time to write it out, talk it out on Otter. I thought it's either otter.ai or otter.io. I always forget which one it is. The free version. You literally can do the free version. You can download it. If you pay for it, you can get it downloaded on a document file. Get it downloaded on a TXT file. Copy that and put it in your document. When I tell you it's so simple, it's ridiculous. It is absolutely too simple. And then you can utilize that to have ChatGPT help you clean it up a little bit. You could have it help you with voice. You can say, I just need this to be lighthearted. Make this lighthearted. So what I'm saying is, we are working too hard if we're not utilizing some of the things of tomorrow. And it's going to take us too much time. So by the time you do all your work, I'm going to be done. I'm going to have my post set. I'm going to have, if this is what I'm doing as far as social media is concerned, I'm going to have all that set. I'm going to have all that done, because I'm letting it work for me. I am creating quick ebooks. I'm creating quick documents. I'm creating quick visuals, because it's being able to help me. If you're not utilizing it that way, if you're not balancing today's responsibility with tomorrow's innovation, you're already behind. And I want us this year, to be positioning ourselves for our big next. So one of the biggest ways I think we need to do that is we have to set aside some time to explore the new, some new tools, some new technologies, some new strategies. Do what's uncomfortable to you, right? You're going to have to get into these areas like, I don't know anything about this, so Google it, right? YouTube University, as we all like to call it, I think they know everything. I think them and ChatGPT know everything, right? Whatever AI you're using, Google it. I want to learn about this. Google it. There's so much free stuff out there. It's absolutely ridiculous. And all it's going to take us is our time, right? Ask the question. You don't know where to start. Let's say that you're in the area of making new balls or rings. I can't even think right now. Go on to ChatGPT and tell it, this is what I'm thinking about. I want to do something new with this. I want to do something that's never been done. Have some ideas, things that you've been writing down for years. You know you have. Things you've been writing down for years, a journal you want to create, have ChatGPT help you with it. It doesn't have to be hard. This book that you want to write, have it help you, right? And yes, I know there are some of you out there who say, I know that some of the book things say, did artificial intelligence help you with any part of this book? I do know that. I'm saying get stuff out quicker if that's what it is you need to do. I'm saying allow it to work for you in your everyday life so that you can do things faster. I'm saying get comfortable with being uncomfortable with learning. Set aside some time every week to be able to do that. I hope that there was something in this podcast that I said as I'm challenging you to position yourself for your next big shift that was a blessing to your spirit. I am hopeful that you are starting off this new year all the way up, 10 toes down, doing what it is that you have to do, feeling good about what's here, what's coming, and that you are ready for the journey. You're ready for the fight. I'm praying that you will be prosperous in this new year and that that we will be blessed. I will see you guys on the next episode. Hey there, before you go, I'd really appreciate it if you took a second to click on that like, follow, or subscribe button. You can even download this episode for later or send it to a sister friend that may need it, because those are the things that are going to help us grow. Also in the description, if you'd be so kind as to click on that donation button, that is really what's going to take us into the next stratosphere. Your support and help with this, because it takes a lot to get this podcast going, and I know that it'll continue to be a blessing. Thank you so much in advance for your support.